Our text this evening is Psalm 26, verses 2 to 12. I read to you Psalm 26, a psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly I will bless the Lord. Now we said that Psalm 26, Psalm 27 and 28 reveal David's love for the sanctuary of God. And in David's day, the sanctuary was the tabernacle in Mount Zion. And we saw last time that not all who came to worship in the sanctuary in Mount Zion were sincere in their walk with God or their worship of God. Not all of them were sincere. Some of them were openly disobedient and even spread lies about King David. So it was in this situation that David writes this psalm, Psalm 26. And we find David making three requests to the Lord. Number one, he says, vindicate me, O Lord. Vindicate me, verse 1. And then he says, examine me, Lord, verses 2 to 8. And then he says, redeem me or deliver me, verses 9 to 12. Now, we looked at verse 1 last Wednesday, and today we will look into the rest of the psalm. Examine me, Psalm 26, verses 2 to 8. Now, there are similar verses spoken by David in Psalm 18, verses 20 to 24. Psalm 18, verses 20 to 24. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Now, if you read these verses superficially, we might conclude that this is an expression of some kind of self-righteousness. But that is far from the case. This is the honest testimony of a real man of God. He was a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. We saw how God attests this integrity of David when God appears to Solomon the second time after the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings chapter 9 verses 3 to 4. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, with the integrity of heart and uprightness, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules. You see, when God is speaking to Solomon about his father David, God does not recall the sins of David. God forgives and God forgets. God forgets, meaning God doesn't have a bad memory. He just chooses not to recall the sins that have been forgiven. He speaks of David as a man with integrity of heart and uprightness. And the overall life of David was one of integrity. Psalm 26 verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. try my reins and my heart. Those words, examine and try. I've underlined those verses. Examine and try. They refer to the testing of metals to determine the true value of the metal. The metal is passed through fire. It also means to purify the metal by passing it through fire and removing the dross from it. The word of God is pure. It does not contain any dross. Psalm 12 verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The words that we speak are often impure, and therefore we need to be purified so that we speak pure words. And this purification process at times is painful, and we may feel like we are passing through the fire, testing times. But in the process, our speech is purified. In the process, our speech becomes pure. Psalm 17 verse 3. Psalm 17 verse 3. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. Psalm 26 verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Now in the original Hebrew text, heart and mind is actually kidneys and heart. Heart and mind is actually kidneys and heart. Kidneys being the seat of emotion and the heart being the place of moral decision. Psalm 139 verse 23. I read from the New King James Version. Psalm 139 verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can commune with God in prayer. Remember, He is your great high priest in heaven interceding for you. So we can commune with God in prayer, knowing that our high priest in heaven, the Lord Jesus, is interceding for us. Therefore, we need not be anxious about anything. We know that the Lord is in total control, and we just simply trust Him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now the church in Thyatira tolerated what is called the Jezebel spirit. The church in Thyatira tolerated the Jezebel spirit. So we find the risen, exalted Christ speaking to this church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches mind and heart. You see that? I am He who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must never think that we can get away with sin. If we do not repent, we will surely face the chastisement of God. David's life was motivated and controlled by God's love and truth. Psalm 26 verse 3. For your steadfast love is before my eyes. Your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Psalm 25 verses 5 to 7. Psalm 25 verses 5 to 7. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Psalm 25 verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and his testimonies. Again in Psalm 40 verse 10. Psalm 40 verse 10. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the congregation. David knew that God was a God of love and truth. And his life was motivated, controlled by God's love and truth. And God reveals himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 34 verse 6. This is how God reveals himself to Moses. Exodus 34 and verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Remember that integrity means that your life is wholesome. Your life is whole. Your heart is not divided. That's what integrity means. You're not a double-minded person. You have only one master. The Lord Jesus himself is your master. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. A double-minded person lacks integrity and he is unstable. James chapter 1 verse 8. James 1 verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The Lord was faithful to his covenant and David was faithful to the Lord. Although David fell, he was restored. The habitual bent of David's life was toward the Lord and his word. And David refused to have fellowship with the hypocrites in the congregation. They were men of vanity and nothingness. Men of vanity and nothingness. These people pretended to worship the Lord and keep his covenant. Psalm 26 verses 4 and 5. Psalm 26 verse 4 and 5. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. This does not mean that David was isolated from the real world. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 9 to 10. The Apostle Paul says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. David was not isolated from the real world. But he did not allow that world to defile him. You see, you and I are living in a world that is filled with evil. There is so much of evil. And there is so much of pressure on us to succumb to the ways of the world. But you and I are called to be different because we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do not conform to the fashions of this world, to the patterns of this world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. We don't get squeezed by the world around us, but we squeeze the world around us into God's mold. Because he has called us to be witnesses in this world. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. On his law he meditates day and night. So we think the thoughts of God because we meditate on the word of God and we are able to know the will of God and do the will of God in this dark, evil world. We shine as lights in the sky. Like the stars in the sky, we can shine in a dark world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So there must be a holy separation in the life of a believer. There must be a holy separation in the life of a believer from this world. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17. And we read in John chapter 17 verses 14 to 15, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. that you keep them from the evil one. We also have the promise in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. So all that we need to do is, like David, we must make the habitual bent of our lives yield toward the Lord and His word. Make the habitual bent of your life yield to God and His word. Psalm 26 verse 5. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. The assembly of the evildoers needs our witness, but it is with the congregation of the righteous that we share our worship and fellowship. Psalm 35 verse 18, I read from the King James Version. Psalm 35 verse 18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. You see, that's worship. In the great congregation, with the congregation of the righteous. I will praise thee among much people. That is the people of the world. That means you are a witness to the world. You are a witness to the assembly of evildoers. And you praise and worship the Lord and fellowship with God's people in the great congregation of the righteous. Psalm 26 verses 6 to 8. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Now the wicked come to the sanctuary. They come to the sanctuary to hide their sins. That's why the wicked come. The wicked come to the sanctuary to hide their sins. In the time of Christ on earth, they made the temple a den of thieves. The temple in Jerusalem was made a den of thieves. It was made a den of thieves, the place where criminals hide. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Matthew 21, 13. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. So the wicked came to the sanctuary of God to hide their sins, and they made the sanctuary a den of thieves. But David went to the sanctuary of God to worship God and to bear witness of his grace and mercy. David washed his hands in innocence. Psalm 26 verse 8 says, Psalm 26 verse 8, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. His hands were clean hands. Psalm 24 verses 3 to 4. Psalm 24 verses 3 to 4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Cleansing comes from the blood of Jesus Christ and the water of God's word. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 26 to 27. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So David sang songs of praise around the altar, the place of sacrifice. When we have to make sacrifices to extend God's kingdom, we must do so with hearts of praise and thanksgiving, not mourning. When we praise him and thank him for opportunities to serve him, then we glorify him. So you enjoy God's presence as you serve him, and you worship and praise him in thanksgiving. You're not living a life of mourning, you're living a life of rejoicing, and you're witnessing to the world around you. So David said in Psalm 26 verse 7 and 8, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Then David says, redeem me, redeem me. Psalm 26 verses 9 to 12. Psalm 26 verses 9 to 12. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. Now, we have said in our study earlier that this congregation of evildoers were along with the congregation of true worshippers. And this is true in today's church worldwide. Jesus spoke of this in the parable of the weeds in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. Now, David could not stop the hypocrites from joining the worshipping congregation, but David could stop himself from becoming like those evildoers. So David asked the Lord to deliver him from the sin of being conformed to the ways of these evildoers. David prays, do not sweep my soul away with sinners. Don't sweep me away with the wicked. That's what he's saying. Don't sweep me away with the wicked. The sheep and the goats and the wheat and the weeds are all mixed today in various congregations all over the church worldwide. And we must therefore be careful to discern and not get conformed to their pattern of life. There needs to be a holy separation from them in the life of a believer. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There is coming a day when God will definitely separate the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the weeds. On that day the wicked will perish. Psalm 1 verses 4 to 6. Psalm 1 verses 4 to 6. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23 we read, Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And then when did we see you? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The righteous into eternal life. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must constantly beware of the evil influences of the world. There are many who profess to be believers. Today, it is a kind of a fashion to say, "I'm a believer." They profess to know God. They profess to love God. But they are using the name of Christ and the church as a cover-up for their sins. Psalm 26 verse 11. "But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me." To remain faithful, we must ask God to be merciful to us and help us to maintain our integrity. Psalm 26 verse 1, I read from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. Psalm 26 verse 1, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Without wavering. Once we begin to waver, it becomes easier to stumble and fall. David was standing on level ground. Psalm 26 verse 12. "My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly I will bless the Lord." Psalm 27 verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord. And lead me on a level path because of my enemies." You see how much we need to seek God's presence on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment, listening to His voice, our minds being renewed by the Word of God day by day, thinking His thoughts, feeling after His own heart, and doing His will. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies." Psalm 143 verse 10. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." Let your good spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, will lead us into all truth, and that will be level ground. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us on a level ground and keep us from the enemy so that we do not fall. All we need to do is to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, and this is our responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds day by day, by the Word of God, and yielding our lives, yielding our faculties, every instrument of our body, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, each cell of our being. Our beings belong to God. We live and we move and we have our being because of Him. Therefore, we offer ourselves, the members of our body, the faculties of our body, our thinking, emotion, reason, affection, and every part of our body, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our lips. We offer our bodies to God and we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verses 24 to 25. Galatians 5, 24 to 25. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And the way to do so is to present your body constantly to God. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 12 verse 1, "I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship, reasonable service." Isaiah chapter 40 verse 4. "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." So David was standing on level ground. He would not waver. When we have our eyes fixed on God's kingdom and God's rule and reign in our lives, then we will seek to manifest His kingdom on earth, and He will lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He will lead us on level ground, and this will be our goal in life, to seek His kingdom. Then we will not waver. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We see the humble determination of David. In Psalm 26 verses 9 to 12, we see David's humble determination. And David says in verse 11, "But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity." But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. This was in spite of the fact that the people were slandering him. You see, integrity is a tremendous defense. When a person lives in integrity, he or she has a great defense, a great shield. Character is a marvelous shield against the accusations of men. A good conscience gives us courage in times of difficulty. The believer's defense is the grace of God and the word of God. And when our eyes are fixed on God's kingdom purposes, we will seek His will and walk in integrity. And we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit and directed by His word. And He will lead us into all truth. David's foot stood in an even place. He was not standing alone. He was in the congregation. Psalm 26 verse 12. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. You see, people can hurt you with false accusations. But you need not let slander defeat you. Seek God's kingdom purposes and fix your eyes on God's kingdom purposes. And do God's will with the strength that He gives you. Walk with integrity and your character will be a shield. Keep yourself pure and avoid compromising situations. When someone slanders you, God's grace, God's word, and God's truth will protect you. Fear not. Fear not. Let's pray.